won't pick up my voice, that's for sure.
So, hi everybody, welcome back to Cider Voice. This is going to be the third Harvest Diary of the 2023 season. And today I'm joined by another special guest. I had Adam Wells on last time, but now I'm with James Forbes of La Pomona, who was actually on the very first ever episode of Cider Voice when I interviewed you and Susanna at your house a few years ago. Wow. James, how are you doing?
Very well, thank you.
Very good.
We're a beautiful November day.
Yeah, and where are we, James?
We're at Holcourt Farm near Putley, picking peri pears. We know the owner, Dawn. She used to be our landlady several years ago. That's how we came to know her, and she bought this place a year or so ago. And it transpired she's got extensive apple orchards, which is really nice, but also some very special peri pear trees.
Yeah, I mean, there's about 15 acres altogether, isn't there? All mm-hmm. standard trees. It's quite magical. We didn't really know what to expect when you invited me to come and have a look with you. And then we're just walking around the orchard being blown away. The range of varieties of apples and pears is fantastic. The fruit all looks really nice. And the best thing is it's totally flat. So even though it's been quite hard going today picking, it's been manageable.
If only we had a nice picking machine.
Well, only one of us has got one of those. He didn't bring it. So which pears were we picking?
We're picking gin pear today. You guys picked a little bit of butt and barlin before I got here, but the mission was to pick gin pear.
Yeah.
Today, which is as listeners of the Cider Voice will know, is quite a rare pear. It's threatened by fire blight, so we're lucky. Six trees.
Yeah, I think five trees, yeah. All in fruit this year, so it's great. Mm-hmm. We've both managed to pick enough for a barrel. Unfortunately, there's signs that the trees do have fire blight, so mm-hmm. we don't know how long they're going to survive. But great to make sure this fruit this year didn't get wasted. Mm-hmm. To pick it together. And should we tell people a bit about the kind of ambition of why we're picking it together?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think that, this is a very fortuitous position that we're in to be given access to this place. But I think it'd be nice to work together on it in advising Dawn and Robin on how to manage it and what trees to plant, given that there's fire blight in the orchard, and then trying to make some great peri from the amazing spot that we're in.
Yeah, yeah. The great news is that Dawn and Robin are interested and committing to planting more pear trees, aren't they? So at a time when there's kind of a dearth of pear trees, sadly an overabundance of cider fruit all around Herefordshire, that it's hard to use all of it, great that we've actually got some pear trees growing in the ground when we're starting to lose the wrong varieties to fire blight.
Yeah. It's pretty amazing. Yeah. It's really exciting, actually.
Yeah, it's great to pick here. I came just by, with my team from Ross Cider, and we picked some Hendra Huffcap, some Winnell's Longdon, some Brandy Pear and some Ailton Red from here as well. So we've been able to get quite a lot of fruit from here, which is great. And it's all been pressed and fermented individually, so we'll be able to really get an idea of how the fruit in this orchard grows, which is exciting.
Which is awesome. Yeah.
So how's the cidery been at Little Pomona this week?
This week's been good. We've been pressing Yarrington Mill and Davenant, basically, as well as doing a few experiments. So this year we're making less cider than we made in the previous 2 years, partly because of the harvest, partly because we have no space, or we're running out of space, and partly because we want to do a few more experimental things that actually take a bit of management and time. So previous years we haven't had time to do that because we've just been pressing and leaving things to do their own thing until January. But this year we've been able to keep a much closer eye on things, which is kind of fun.
Yeah, and
having said that, though, we press way more than our original plan, because I think we've got this flip chart in the cidery that Susanna made us have a meeting, and it said the target was something like 35,000 litres of juice, and we're well over that already, and we're still pressing.
Well, that's great. Well, I think that is how it goes, because it was the same for us. I didn't anticipate making... the juice we've done right now, I thought was going to be it for the whole year, but we've got another two really full weeks to go, and we'll end up making more than we did last year, which is a surprise. But it's a nice thing to be able to do if you...
Well, it's easy to make, Albert, but you've got to sell it.
I know. Well, I've got most of last year's left.
Excellent.
I've just been creative in making space. So what varieties were you doing this week?
Yarrington Mill and Davenant.
Yeah.
Basically, yeah. So we had... a bold bittersweet as well. So we had three kind of late season bittersweet apples to do, and we put them all in the press over the last few days, so it's good. And part of the experimentation is about arresting fermentation this year, and these varieties are mainly going to go to that project. So we're using two techniques, which is the Normandy technique, which is key. Well, he starts off with keeping the juice, and the other one is called racking, or they call it called racking, but we'll racking basically, multiple racking.
Do you have any intention with your Normandy method stuff to do kind of Charmat style conditioning in the bottle? Well, not in the bottle, in the tank for the bottle.
Charmat style?
Yeah.
We can't do that.
You don't have a pressure tank.
Yeah. Oh. So, I mean, interesting technique, but not. Like, it's not necessary, I don't think.
Not necessary, but I mean, to me, it looks, from someone that isn't doing a lot of highly carbonated, naturally sparkling ciders, we just do bottle conditioning, we're very happy with that style. Charmat looks more practical on a scale of 1,000 litres or more.
I think it's good, but you need the right equipment, and you need to chill it as well. So you need two sets of equipment, which we don't have. And they're quite expensive, and I don't know. Yeah. I mean, part of the keeving process is to clarify the juice. So, like Bowles Bittersweet that has keeve now, it's like mud going into the breath, into the tank. So, and with that variety, we really struggle to clarify it by racking and maturing. So this will actually give us a head start to give us clear juice.
Yeah,
and it will slow the fermentation down, so we may be able to stop it before it goes fully dry.
Yeah.
So because we make a lot of dry cider, and we built this city on dry cider, and you know that's a way of kind of expanding our portfolio, and having a different offering for different consumers.
There's no doubt that it's hard to make and sell more and more dry cider every year. I think.
Well, it's ridiculous, really. I mean, it's sad that it is so hard, but
yeah.
That's the world we live in, and we have to sell cider to survive as a business.
We do, yeah. So. But the nice thing is, I do think that you and me and everybody is selling more dry cider this year than we were 10 years ago.
Yeah, of course.
And so it is still growing, but it's not necessarily growing fast enough, is it? When both of us have got employees and overheads and everything else, there's a.
I mean, when you look at it from a business point of view. You know, it's easy to make stuff, but if we don't sell it, then we're in trouble because we can't pay the staff, we can't pay the rent, we can't pay the rates, etc.
Yes, yeah. So how is? Have you got any kind of thoughts on the season so far? Is there anything that you've pressed that really excited you, or any kind of general takings from this early point?
I think this year, I mean, it's been like, I think it's been a good season. There's a lot of fruit around. Sugars are down, but I don't necessarily mind that. You know, it's, especially with the new GT.
Yeah.
The gods are smiling on us this year. But varieties like Stoke Red was the one that really... I've tasted underripe apples on the tree in different orchards before, and I've had some nice Stoke Red ciders, but we got about 3 tons of Stoke Red this year, all hand-picked, and just tasting the fruit was like... I thought Kingston Black was the best, but I'm like, this is... if this... The cider tastes as good as the raw fruit. I mean, honestly, it was staggering.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
So we've got a couple of 1,000 litres of that, which we're going to play with. So that was really exciting. Also, we had Yellow Huff Cap and Henry Huff Cap in enough quantity to do a single variety. So that was very exciting, especially the Henry Huff Cap, which was I've never seen such perfectly blended fruit coming through. So that was really exciting. There's lots of interesting things. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with you. The sugars are down. For us, they're kind of reverted back to slightly above average, which actually I was surprised by because it had been such a dismal summer. Mm. Half my playing season in cricket was rained off, so it was a terrible year. But yeah, enough sugar that I think everything's going to be very, very tasty, but also a appropriate amount of sugar that is kind of handy for the ease of selling it and for juicing everything
exactly,
else.
Exactly. So, and I'm whatever the season throws, I'm quite comfortable with it because we're about seasonality.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, if it's a shit year, then it's a shit year and we have to deal with it. And if it's a great year, it's a great year and we have to deal with it. But it's all the same in that sense. It's like, and you make different ciders.
Yes.
In different years, and that's fun.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much, James. The Little Pomona Land Rover has just rolled up, so we're all ready to go home and have lunch.
Absolutely.
So thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll catch you next week.
Thanks for speaking to me.